Welcome, registered readers, to an emergency session of Open Season. We've got Matt Acey from Al Fresco and Dave Rosenberg from Mule Source, but we also have Martin Mikos from MySQL on the Line and Sun's software chief, Rich Green. The two gentlemen are here, obviously, to talk about Sun's acquisition today of MySQL for $1 billion. Thank you guys for making some time with us. I think you're joining us from Florida.
Yes, we are. Lovely Disney World, in fact.
Well, thank you for giving Martin Mikos $1 billion, more importantly. Thank you for creating a $1 billion open source company.
What is, I guess you guys have been doing interviews all day?
Yes, we have press interviews, analyst meetings, and then, of course, meetings with our staff. We have the whole company here in Orlando currently.
And certainly having conversations back with folks in the software staff in California as well.
So, Martin, before I get into my serious questions, and this is Matt, why is your company down in Orlando? Were you guys having just a company offsite, and it happened to coincide with being bought for $1 billion, or what was
absolutely correct. So, you know, Matt, that we have a tradition of doing all company meetings, and we haven't had one in a number of years. And we said, before we go public, we must get everybody together in Orlando, we said, because that's the shortest flight distance on average for all our employees. So we made a decision back in May last year. And now timing just is such that we announced it here at the start of the staff meeting.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's a nice way to kick it off.
It was a huge thing because nobody expected it. We kept it very tight. There were very few who knew about it. And, of course, it's a big news for a group with such an independent mindset and having worked towards an IPO for a long time. So
actually, so that begs a question. What was the initial reaction?
The initial reaction was very positive in terms of the company we're dealing with here. So Sun Microsystems has a very high standing among our people. And that's decisive. It was important for us as well as we decided to go for this, that we realized that the company culture is a good fit for us. When you work for Sun, you can work from home. They focus on technology and innovation, and we just realized this is a great place, and they are very good with open source nowadays. So that's why the reactions were positive. And at the same time, you know, we have a tradition of being skeptics and asking tough questions. So we've had those as well.
So I want to know how long this deal took to come to pass, if you can share that.
Well, you know, like really good deals, they come together very quickly. And it's because there's either synergy or alignment in cultures or focus on business models or, you know, seeing that can be joint success. We probably started this about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Had a really nice dinner with Martin and Jonathan, and we had some initial discussions, and things followed from there. And so it was a very, very quick and very positive process.
Were there other people bidding? Was that a factor in the price at all?
No, not specifically. You know that we have been moving forward towards an IPO for a long, long time, and we were in a quiet period, as you may know. So that was... That's where we had our aims set, and that was the devotion and the commitment of us. And then we just decided that this was like an IPO, only better.
And Martin, can you clear up? I don't know how specific you can be, but there's people speculating on what your 2007 revenue might have been. I mean, can you give us some idea?
We're a private company, so we don't publish those numbers.
All right, fair enough. Questions.
But we had excellent growth in 2007. I'm very happy with the growth rate we had.
Okay. Question for you, Martin, and actually also for Rich, maybe more for Rich. Bring MySQL in. Is it going to be treated as a separate operating entity, or will it be integrated tightly into the rest of the product line? How are you guys going to operate this?
Well, from an organizational standpoint, Martin is going to join the software team reporting into me, and the engineering and marketing teams are going to remain intact. The whole idea of this acquisition is, this is a great team. Martin's a great leader, great bunch of people, and we want to keep going with the plan. I mean, it's just been fabulously successful, as Martin alluded to, and last thing we want to do is sort of take it apart. So Martin's going to run the whole database organization as he is now. We're going to move the sales and services team over to our field organization so we can get the scale and the business side that we want, but engineering and marketing fully in charge. And whether it's sales or service or engineering or marketing, Martin is the business leader. He's going to run the whole gig just as he has been as CEO.
And what happens with your relationship with Oracle, for example? What have you heard anything from them?
Well, we've had a busy day here today, but you know, we've had great relationship or you know, and very successful business relations with Oracle for many years. And you know, you got to look at this very rationally. This is a business opportunity between two companies that needs to be unaffected by this. And you know, the database business is a $15 billion business, and although it's one word that describes that market, truth is there are a lot of sub-markets and broad opportunities in that. And just as Oracle has been amazingly successful in the enterprise data center and the legacy deployment of all sorts of applications on top of their database, Martin's organization, MySQL, has been amazingly successful in the build-out of the network economy. And so these are complementary things. We're going to keep working closely with both.
Rich, you know, I did an interview with Scott in 2003 with Scott McNeely where he said he just didn't see the business case for buying a database maker. And, you know, he pointed to companies like MySQL and Postgres as doing just a fine job. What changed for you guys to see that there is a business case there now?
Do you mean in 4.5 years, Ashley? So,
but I mean,
that's
what,
a long time
what
ago. And, you know, there's an explosive growth in the, you know, the internet economy, explosive growth with MySQL, MySQL, and the LAMP stack. You should look at this as us putting $1 billion behind the M of LAMP. And you know, many things have changed in terms of the ratios of investment in build-out and, in fact, in the amount of stored data in internet-related and consumer-facing applications versus enterprise applications. So that was a really long time ago to have that conversation.
Yeah, no. I was just asking, like, what in particular you guys were looking at as the big changes. You know, but why does Sun have to put this $1 billion there when, I mean, you could have just been selling and supporting MySQL like anybody else?
Well, first of all, MySQL is a fabulous brand, and having that part of Sun, I think, is just a value add for Sun Microsystems. But the customer base of MySQL versus Sun are extremely complementary, and the amount of leverage that we can provide to MySQL directly by being able to give them greater validation in enterprise accounts with our worldwide service support organization, or leveraging their installed base with other products and services that we can deliver to their customer base. It's just a great deal of business growth between the two of us. At the same time, we're completely aligned at our business models based on open source, based on innovation and delivery of technology into the open source market. This is just a great match to bring as close together as possible.
Can I say that these answers are really good? It's almost a little bit annoying.
Yeah, but I still...
You guys haven't really worked this out.
I see how you guys sell, you know, more support, how this lends some strength to MySQL, and it opens up the support deals, but I still don't see how this necessarily makes it easier for Sun to sell servers or storage behind the database. You know, makes it easier for you than for Dell or IBM to do it, and it just seems like you have to have that hardware element for the price to be justified in the long term.
Well, in the near term, I think we're going to rely heavily on the channels that we have and focus on the software side of our business. Helping Martin grow the MySQL business enormously through the reach that we can provide that a company of his prior scale just couldn't fulfill, that within the services and support revenues. But we're a multifaceted company now and a heterogeneous company now. We're going to use our channels with Dell and HP, rather Dell and IBM, to make sure we're vending and providing MySQL technology to the widest possible market. And what we've noticed in other aspects of our software business with our leading identity product, for example, is, you know, we get a toehold into accounts or customers or even with developers with our identity technology running on different operating systems and different hardware. And there's a natural inclination to want to move forward over time to investigate and purchase other some technologies. And there are longer ramps, but it's a trend that we've seen already with our existing software products.
So is Sun going to become the open source Oracle?
We're the largest open source company in the world. I think that's a better way to describe it all.
Dave's question is more, so Oracle's got this appetite for acquiring every company on the planet, and maybe at some point Sun will be one of those. Not yet, anyway. This gives Sun the chance to become the center of the open source, of the commercial open source economy. And I'd argue that MySQL could possibly do that, but probably didn't have the resources. Sun definitely has the resources. Is that on the table?
I think that's a brilliant thought. And as you know, we have at MySQL always built a partner-centric business model where we work closely with ISVs and channels and others. And now we will be able to do that at a bigger scale. And yes, I do think this will help open source companies get to the market. I think it will help new web companies, on-demand companies to get a quicker going, quicker ramp-up of their own business. So,
well, what I mean
it's
is
based
that
on an ecosystem thinking, not on a monolithic, proprietary, closed thinking that some other companies may represent.
Well, what I meant was that there's a unique opportunity still where there's lots of open source companies out there that are good, right, and are doing good business. And as an aggregate, perhaps they'd be able to take advantage of the resources of Sun, for example, which is essentially what Oracle has done. I mean, is that part of something that you see in the future where it becomes, for the sake of argument, content management becomes the next thing that Sun buys, or systems management, or whatever else?
Well, you know, we set out on this path a couple of years ago with open sourcing all technology, most recently Java, and then our XVM technology. Some is out already, some is coming soon. And, we're building a very large and, I think, efficient and valuable software business for Sun. But Martin makes a pretty important point that, unlike a proprietary world in which you get to aggregate the technology and deliver it in a controlled fashion, you know, the open source world is one of choice. And so it may be a great opportunity, and we'd love to see our software business grow with other open source acquisitions. But it isn't about being a prescriptive provider of technology. It's being able to offer these in valuable ways. And so, you know, we've really changed the way we do our business. That's why the alignment with Martin's organization, MySQL, is so good. But certainly your suggestion isn't the first time I've heard it inside or outside of Sun. It makes a lot of sense.
I think we have a difference there in how we focus. We focus on working with companies that grow, and we focus on growth markets. And that's one strategy. And another strategy is to consolidate existing incumbent players.
If Sun decides to go that direction, it has the opportunity right now with Red Hat somewhat distracted. And Jim Whitehurst, talking with him recently, he just said that they're going to be focused on their existing businesses right now. And so, whereas I think MySQL could have made a lot of sense for Red Hat, obviously it's not going to happen now, but arguably it wouldn't have happened under Jim, given his renewed or his new focus on just operational excellence. I had a separate question though for you. What does this mean for MySQL develops in a different way, but what does this mean for the resources available to MySQL to build out its database? And Martin, maybe part of that's for Rich. What does it mean in terms of what sorts of financial resources are you going to be committing to MySQL? And Martin, from your perspective, has that been a problem for MySQL? Have you guys been lacking in resources that have prevented you from growing in the way that you would have liked to?
My engineering managers always come to me and say, Martin, only two more hires and we have enough. And they do it every week. So, it has been like walking around in a candy store when we've looked around at Sun and seen the high performance labs, the database skills they have, and the whole performance obsession all through the stack. So I actually think it will have an impact on our technology, and I think we'll get an infusion of skill in just how to get even more performance out of something that already is very fast. So I'm very much looking forward to that. As we built MySQL so far, we always took a frugal approach, and we said, although we have plenty of cash, let's not spend all of it. Let's manage with small resources and be street smart rather than big in what we do. So So it feels like we've always been limited in resources, but actually I think we've become more efficient because we haven't allowed ourselves to just hire like crazy.
Well, and Jonathan and I and Greg and Martin have all discussed that, you know, we're totally behind growing as aggressively as possible in any way reasonably. The MySQL business, and obviously through other synergies, pulling along other Sun businesses. One of the ways is, as Martin says, we just have a huge number of resources, both technical and sales and service, that can be tapped into instantaneously upon close to help leverage and grow the MySQL business. But certainly from an economics perspective, you know, we put $1 billion into this company. We think very highly of them. They're technically extremely sharp. They have a great business model. We're going to really help push very aggressively by providing the right resources and the right leverage to Martin's organization to make sure they can grow as quickly as possible.
So, Rich, how does this come into the overall software strategy? So I'm on the Sun website now, and I'm just looking at some of the things. And, for example, the CBeyond stuff has – I don't know, really, to be perfectly honest, where it is at the moment, but you know, MySQL is a much larger brand and has a lot more footprint. But what's the overall strategy? Is it, you know, an SOA type of push, or is it, you know, this infrastructure? There's lots and lots of Sun software out there.
Well, look, we've been very successful on a variety of fronts. The growth of Solaris and Open Solaris. We have the number one directory and identity product line. The CBeyond SOA technology for the enterprise is doing well, but Martin's MySQL product and company has been, you know, it's the M of LAMP, and it's you know, the core technology for the build out of the net economy, and so they're going to sort of confer to us a set of business priorities and market opportunities that are additive to the ones we're pursuing today. We've certainly been successful in the network build out, but MySQL is certainly an amazing catalyst to growing our business there. So, you know, it's sort of, you know, watch, you know, follow the puck here. It's very natural for us to line up behind the success of the MySQL team and pursue very aggressively the growing the market success where they've been so powerful.
He's a Scott McNeely man. You can't get away from the puck analogy.
I'm sorry, you know, and I never played hockey. I'm a basketball guy. It just doesn't seem to play in, you know, play in Peoria, the basketball thing.
So, Martin, you know, when you're looking at this, I mean, well, I guess Martin and Rich, but, you know, I just wrote a story. I just put it up while we were on the call. It went up just about, I mean, it kind of goes to Rich's point. Sun is the premier open source vendor right now, as far as I can see. You've got OpenOffice, you've got Open Solaris. And now, you know, the world's most popular database, and you guys are always kind of, you've got the Lustre file system, and you're helping developers out. I mean, really, that was Red Hat's position before, more or less. Martin, didn't Red Hat kind of miss out on a huge opportunity here?
I think Red Hat has a fantastic business and continues to have so. And you know, it's not my role to assess their strategy or judge it. I think, you know, their business makes all the sense, and I'm sure there are always many scenarios available. But you know, I'm thinking about what makes sense for customers and what will serve them better, so I sell more to them, so we can build our huge business, which is our dream. And for us, it's happening here and now.
So, Rich, you got to have a little more acerbic answer than that.
Well, you know, we're a kinder, gentler, and better behaved Sun Microsystems. But let me put it this way: I think, you know, Sun can afford the MySQL organization, you know, a scale and a level of reach that, you know, no other company, you know, Red Hat or others would be hard to equal, simply because of, you know, our history and the scale of the company. But I think there's also a really important cultural match here. And this isn't a positive or a negative about how companies are run, but it's more a comment on the alignment and cultural history and business models of our two companies. And you can look at it this way. In the open source business world, there are really two types of companies, right? There's the innovation companies, the companies who are generating new ideas and new technology and delivering that into the open source community. And there are those who skew more towards being aggregators, those who are taking the work of others and aggregating them into supported product form. And the MySQL organization, as well as Sun Microsystems, falls squarely in the former, where innovators, where technology generators, and we confer that technology into the open source community. Sun was named by the EU as the largest single contributor of open source code in the world. And so that's the model that aligns Martin's company with Sun's and why this is such a good match.
And Matt, you know, Matt had to take off because he's a good father, and I think one of his daughters has a soccer game, but he wanted me to ask Martin where the MySQL team is going to work now. Is it going to be at the Sun offices, the Bay Area teams?
No, that was one of the first questions we asked and made sure. At MySQL, you can work anywhere in the world, and at Sun, we will be able to work anywhere in the world. So we won't change the global distributed nature of our organization.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, the Sun is the same. We have offices all over the world for engineering and development where a lot of people work, and then there's a lot of people who just work out of their home. And so, you know, we have the option of doing one or the other or both, and that's an option to our existing employees, and that can be an option to the MySQL employees. But our plan is no change in terms of the lifestyle and working style of everybody at MySQL.
But I can tell you as a funny little detail that we have had engineers come to me and say, Martin, can I now work in an office? So now we will have the choice.
Hey, Rich, I'm curious what other things you think are interesting out there. Obviously, MySQL is a sort of a pretty big deal, and a database is a broad category, but what are sort of some of the other things, you know, that you think are interesting?
Well, you know, we're very interested in the world of, I guess the current buzzword is cloud computing or hosted environments for open source developers and providing infrastructure for those folks as well as the tools necessary to build out applications that are by and large resident on the network. And that's a big area of interest for ours. You know, we started out with network.com a couple of years ago, and that was a great experiment focused really on hosting. And we're redirecting that whole effort to be essentially a developer environment to build and then deploy applications using the resources of network.com, storage, computation, et cetera. And we have an eye towards other opportunities in that space as being a major part of where we're taking the software organization. And in that regard, MySQL fits fabulously as a hosted environment as well as a delivered environment.
Why does it feel like, you know, Amazon.com kind of beat you guys to the developer cloud kind of thing?
Well, that's your words, not mine. I mean, I think Amazon is doing an interesting job at varying scales, and I admire them for it. I don't want to in any way sound negative or disparaging. You know, they have taken an approach of starting with the services. We have had enormous success over the years with our tool-centric and developer-centric programs, and you know, we have the opportunity to scale that to bring all of those folks to a services-based environment. That's certainly where we're headed.
So who do you think you're competing with on the software side at this point? Is it IBM and Oracle, or is it other guys like, say, TIBCO or whoever else?
Well, you know, I don't spend as much time thinking about who we're competing against as who we're trying to serve. And, we, you know, we've been really successful in the enterprise markets with Solaris Pen, as well as our SOA technology and identity technology. And now, you know, with all of our open source programs and Open Solaris and, you know, the GPLing of Java and now MySQL, it's clear that we're going after the web economy. And so I'd really rather focus all the folks at Sun on where we're headed, less than, you know, who else might be heading there as well.
Well, so what do you think you're missing? Is there something like, say, BPM or registry or something like that that you feel you need to have to get this all done?
Well, you know, you guys are expert in surveying the field more broadly than sometimes we focus day-to-day on operations can be. What's your take about what are some of the next big steps?
I think
you're missing the world's greatest ESB. It's called Mule. And you might be familiar with our new registry repository. Just
one shameless plug. Next answer.
Well, I'm a big fan of the cloud thing, too. And I actually think that Amazon's approach is interesting because they had so much extra space, it makes a lot of sense. But it's not necessarily feasible for a real business to use, contrary to what, you know, Smug Mug or whoever might say. And the MySQL stuff very clearly makes sense, and Mark and I have talked about this a lot. But I wonder about things, for example, like master data management and some of this identity things sort of more integrated. And some of the tools, you know, not to sound like a jerk, some of the tools haven't been updated in a while. So the ESB actually is kind of weak. And some of the stuff is very cool, like Glassfish, and there's a lot of new OSGI stuff out there. But, you know, I'm just wondering, like, where do you think the next important thing is for Sun after the database? Is it something like MDM to go into a new market, or is it really figuring out the cloud, or is it, you know, taking MySQL and having it be a more core part of Solaris, for example, or BI?
Yeah, you know, I think this is the one day we're really going to focus on MySQL and MySQL only. But I think if you play back the tapes, I dropped a few hints along the way that'll be pretty clear about where we want to head.
I can't listen to these podcasts after we record them.
No. It's a metaphor.
Do you know, how much do you guys think we'll start hearing about the SAMP stack and making Solaris, you know, kicking out the L and making Solaris kind of the centerpiece of this push going forward?
Let's let Martin handle that one first. I have an opinion, but I'm actually very interested in Martin's perspective on all this.
Well, first of all, I actually think that the word the LAMP stack has taken a meaning beyond L&A and MNP already. So you know, sometimes MuleSource is there. Sometimes we have Ruby on Rails. So I think the world will call it LAMP stack. They sometimes do it today, even when it runs on Windows. So will there be a... Will people start talking about the SAMP stack? No, I don't think so. I think Solaris will continue to grow and be successful in that space, but the world knows this stack as the LAMP stack, and even when you add the other things like Ruby on Rails, Java, all those things, LAMP is the name that people will use.
I was just curious if I could stir up a little fight, and if Rich, just if you could respond to Martin's answer there on the SAMP stack stuff.
Well, you know, at a couple of levels, I'm fully aligned with Martin. First of all, you know, the LAMP stack is in its literal translation is clearly, you know, the leading platform for the build out of the web economy. And Martin and MySQL is a key part of that. When you think about LAMP, ultimately you zoom in on the M because data, more than computation, more than scripting, more than operating systems, people's data is the most precious element. And so, you know, the M in that regard is the most precious element, and that's why this is such an important opportunity and acquisition for us. But as the build-out occurs, you know, the L or the M as well as the S are all going to be important. We're going to have to support them all. There's no way we're going to skew artificially the solutions that we deliver into the market to use other consonants simply because we want to. We have to ensure that people want them to drive the interest and desire for people to realize that there may be added virtues in other operating systems, in other consonants in that regard. But it should be viewed as additive, not replacing. We're not going to try to dictate people's choices here.
So I'm a big Solaris fan, actually, and I'm seeing a lot of our customers actually switch off of Linux back to Solaris. And I'm just wondering if you guys are seeing this trend as well, and what do you think the percentage growth of Solaris is year over year?
Well, I don't have the percentage figures at hand. We certainly are getting an increasing number of comments and stories and proof points of people moving from Linux to Open Solaris as Open Solaris kind of gains in momentum, both technically as well as from a market perspective. We're hearing a lot of that, but you know, I don't want to be inhaling too deeply here. I want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the market and we're delivering the technology. Open Solaris, I think, is going to be incredibly valuable. Just the way we have constructed it to follow some of the sort of guidance of how appliance-centric and incremental operating system assembly can be fulfilled and provide very tuned solutions along with the leading-edge capabilities like, you know, CFS and D-Trace and other capabilities. I think it's really going to be an extremely valuable component of the network build-out. But I think we'll see how that goes. We're going to earn it, and I expect a lot of positive feedback, but I'm not going to tout this until others are touting it more aggressively.
Well, guys, I know you've had a long day of interviews, so maybe we'll let you go. But, you know, Martin, before we do dash out, I mean, can you just give us a little, we talked about it at the beginning, but I mean, can you give us a flavor for, just on a personal level, what an acquisition like this means to you and you know, the other people at the company?
Well, I am super excited about this, and that's absolutely genuine. But what everybody must know and will know that when you are a CEO of a company, you are passionate about it, you work for it for 7 years, you have one thing in mind, which is building an independent business and going public. It's a huge emotional decision to change that and to say, hey, this other scenario is actually even better for us. So this happened very quickly, but I had some very difficult nights, you know, thinking through everything, having difficulties to sleep, figuring out how to do it. And now I'm come to terms with it, and I see that this is a much better opportunity, which we are going into, you know, full steam. But it's a difficult thing when you have employees, you have shareholders, you have customers, you think of all of those and what's best for the various constituencies. And it's not easy, but it can be done.
So I have one final question for Martin. Do you think there's going to be any of the open source companies that have been founded in the last, say, 3 years, how many are going to be left at the end of, say, 2 years that don't get taken out by an acquisition?
You know, I think I'm good at running a business, but I'm not very good at predicting what will happen in the market. And you know, I'm not a VC. I think they will know those things, but I never know who will survive and who won't, and what sort of exits they will have. I just know how to grow businesses and build partnerships.
Nice job on cop out answer.
It was an honest answer. If I knew, I would tell you.
You're a good man.
Well, thank you guys very much for your time. I know it's pretty late in the day for you, and so hopefully you can go enjoy some dinner and a cocktail or two.
We have a party starting, already started, so we'll go
there guys,
now.
Well, guys, congratulations to both of you.
Thanks very
Thank
much,
you.
Guys. Nice talking to you as well.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dave, I had one last question for you as part of all this. I mean, they talked a little bit about the Red Hat stuff, and obviously,
yeah,
you know, they have to hold back on their answers a bit. In my opinion, you know, Red Hat, they've got a lot going on, and maybe you know, they don't want to throw $1 billion around, but it just seems to me that if they buy MySQL, I mean, you know, they just solidify their place as the epicenter of the open source world, and that this is a big opportunity missed. But I mean, you would have a much better idea on that than I would.
I just, you know, I think if Red Hat could pull it off, they would be the winner. There's no question. They would shut the door on the rest of the market, but they didn't handle the whole acquisition of JBoss very well. It's getting better, obviously. But, you know, I think if I'm Red Hat, as much as this might bum me out, the fact that BEA got taken out makes me feel better. I would focus all my resources on selling JBoss app server. I would even cut the other projects. You know, I'd stop JPPM and all that other kind of stuff and just say, get the app server right. Take all the BEA market share. And then, you know, you sort of make up for what you might have lost in the database space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be it's pretty cool to see how things might shake out here moving forward. Well, Dave, thanks as always for your
always
time.
A pleasure.
It was nice to get the emergency session taken care
I'm
of.
I'm glad we were able to get the big guns on the phone. Now I feel validated and vindicated by our efforts here. Open season number 10 in the can, emergency episode.